Our lesson this morning is still concerning Saul and his time as king of Israel. Now, we find up to this point that God had instructed Samuel to tell Saul to attack the my thoughts are gone. The Amalekites. Now the Amalekites were people who lived in Canaan and in an area. And they're the ones that you find in I think Genesis. They're the ones that, in Exodus. That as Moses was leading the children of Israel into Canaan, they would attack the children of Israel, the stragglers that were left behind, that were dragging and not going as fast as the main body of people. The Amalekites would attack them and kill them and take their livestock. And so this went on for a way. They kind of wearied their rear marchers back there. Now, God has now instructed, several hundred years later, he has told Saul that he wants them destroyed. Every last one of them, men, women, children, and all of their crops, all their animals. He wants them totally blotted out. And we find in the third verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, where it says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so that was God's instructions. And those instructions was passed along to Saul. And it says that Saul attacked. And in the seventh verse, it says that Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, or Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. Did you notice what happened here? God had instructed Saul to destroy everything. But Saul, in his own mind, decided he wanted to keep the best that he had. So he saved the king, and he saved the best of their animals. In other words, it's like the invading armies of old who took the spoils of the land. They took the best of the land. Destroy the people, but you take the best of the land for yourself, and you divide it amongst your people. But now, the problem with that is that was not what God had instructed him to do. He had instructed him to totally destroy it, and he didn't. Now this is kind of like Joshua was told to destroy Jerusalem. His instructions was, Jerusalem, Jericho. His instructions were to destroy Jericho except for the woman. I can't remember what her name. You remember her name?
Rahab.
And some of her family, they were to be left alive because she had harbored the spies. And so God, he wanted everything destroyed except for her and a few of her family. So this is the same thing. This is kind of like the order that he gave Saul. Now, in our lesson now, we find, and it's beginning in the 28th verse, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And I think this neighbor that he's speaking of is David. But because of Saul's disobedience in this thing, God has told Samuel, you tell Saul that I'm taking this all away. You'll no longer be king. And I'm going to give it to somebody else. Because this is not the only thing that Saul has done that's contrary to God's will. But I think what you get out of this is that there are people, and we can number God's people among these people, who take it upon themselves to kind of do their own thing. They take it upon themselves, they want to do what they want to do, and they want to forget what it is that God wants them to do. And many times we are short-sighted enough that it looks like what we're doing is going to prosper us. But in God's eye, it could be completely opposite of that, because we're going against His will. That's why it's very important for God's people to stay in contact with God. We need to stay on our knees in prayer, in contact with God, that we're sure that we're doing what God would have us to do. And then we need to be sure that once we have His instruction, that we do it. And we do it just exactly like He wants it done. Otherwise, we're going contrary to God. And when you go contrary to God, you're treading on dangerous ground. That's just an area you don't really want to be in, is going contrary to the will of God. And so Samuel has told Saul, he said, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. Now, it says in the 29th verse, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Who is the strength of Israel? That's God Himself. And it says that God should not repent, He will not lie, for He's not a man that needs to repent. So I think that he's referring to God, and what he is saying there is, in fact, that God is determined to dispose of you, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Not one thing. Now, that's a pretty harsh sentence on a man who has kind of taken his role of king to heart and has ruled over these people, and in turn has kind of taken some things upon himself. I understand that he sinned in God's eye. But this is a harsh punishment. And to find out there's no recourse whatsoever, it's going to be done, and the one who made this decision is not going to go back on it. It's going to happen. So then it says in the 30th verse, it says, then he said, this is Saul. Now I want you to pay attention to what he says, because this is the way I view this verse, and you people might see it in a different light. Then he said, I have sinned. Okay, that's what Saul says. I have sinned. So on with the first blush of that, you say, well, he's repented. He knows that he has sinned. He understands that. But then he says, talking to Samuel, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord my God. So at the first look at that, you think that he has realized that he has sinned and he's going up to worship God. But notice what it says. He says to Samuel, he said, honor me now and go with me that I may worship before Israel. See, this is the way I take this. This man has so much pride that he's this worship, that he's this atonement that he's going to go before God with is all show. It's all outward appearance. He wants Samuel to be with him, and he wants to make a show of his presence, and he wants to go up and he wants to worship God and ask his forgiveness. And I think that this is an outward show for the people to see, for people to look at. And you know, there's a lot of people, and I include God's people in this, unfortunately. There's a lot of people that I believe feel that worshiping God in this way is okay. And I'll give you an example of that. I was going to say how many of you are here, but I'm not going to do that. There are people who come to church just to be coming to church. Now, that may be a shock to a lot of people, but there are people who show up on Sunday morning just because they feel that's the thing to do. And I'm talking about God's people. There's a lot of God's people that show up on Sunday morning just for show. Because then people will look at them and say, yeah, there's a faithful one back there. Well, the person may not have wanted to be there to begin with, but it just has this, you know, this guilt or whatever it might be that he showed up, because that's the thing to do, and you want people to think. Don't you want people to think good about you? There's a lot of God's people that do. They're worshiping God, the God who may have in fact saved their very soul, but they're at church this morning and they'd much rather be somewhere else. Now I'm telling you, no matter which way you think, the best place for you to be on Sunday morning is in your church. That is the best place for you to be. And we should have that desire to be there, not to put on a show, but because we want to please God. We want him to look in our hearts and find a desire, a true desire. We don't want to put a show like what I think Saul was doing here. Samuel, you come with me. I want you up close to me when I go to worship God. I want the people of Israel to see that you're with me, you're beside of me, and I'm going to worship God, and we're all going to look good together, and this is going to really come out looking good. You see, we can't serve God like that. And there's a lot of people, a lot of God's people, I think, this morning, who their minds are miles away from serving the true God this morning. And if that wasn't true, this building right here this morning would be full. We got enough members here this morning to fill this church up. I don't know, Billy, we may have enough to, you've got the roll, we may have enough that we need to put out chairs if people were doing what God would truly want and have them to do this morning. We'd have standing room only here in this building. But you see what we have. This is what we got. Now, I'm not going to say that that's a bad thing, because there's always going to be a core of people that's going to serve God. And I thank God that what I'm looking at this morning is that core, because I think that is the strength of this church. It's the core of the people that are going to serve God and come each and every time the doors open with an earnest desire to serve him and not put on a show. Not put on a show for man. We don't have to be in a building that seats 2,000 or 3,000 people and it filled to the rafters for us to serve God. As long, he said he'd be with us as if we was touching and agreeing upon the same thing. He'd be, no matter how many, one or two, it doesn't make a difference. I just thank God that there are people that are not after a show, in other words, to put on before God this morning. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, "Bring me hither to Agag," that's the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag says, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." In other words, the king said, "You know, can't we all be friends here? Can't we just all get along? I mean, it's all in the past, and we're all in this together." And Samuel said, "As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women," which was his Agag's death sentence right there. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel had to do what Saul was supposed to have done. Saul didn't even get a chance to show God that he could do. Samuel did it instead. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. In other words, he had regretted it. Now, the other point that I want to bring out is this serving God and with your heart. I guess we could say with your heart or with your mind. In the 139th division of Psalm, you know, my thought process is going like this. We can come here this morning just because it's Sunday morning, and just because somebody has said, get up, it's time to go to church, or there's a guilt feeling and you think you need to be in church, and we can sit and we can be like Saul, and we can pretend that we're serving God, and you can fool everyone who sits here this morning. You can fool that whomever it is. And that goes for each of us. Each of us has to search our own heart and see where we stand before the sight of God. But in the 139th division of Psalm, let me tell you what David said. He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now, in that first verse right there, we find that David realizes that God knows who he is. And I want you to know that that is just not knowing David by name. That is knowing David by his every fiber in his body. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, this ought to open people's eyes to the reality that God knows who we are. He knows what we're doing. He knows why we're here this morning. He truly does. He knows why we're here. So, you don't need to try and fool me. You're going to have to take it to God if you're here for any other reason other than to serve him with every bit of your being this morning. Down to the very core of your soul, we should be here to serve God. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Acquainted with all my ways. Let me tell you what. God knows me better than I know me. And I'm me. You understand? I mean, I'm me. I look inside myself and I know all there is about me, but God knows more about me than I do. God even knows what I'm going to be doing 30 minutes from now. I don't have a clue what I might be doing 30 minutes from now, but God knows. He knows everything there is about me. So whatever pretense I have this morning of standing up here and teaching this lesson, or sitting and listening to the preacher, or leading singing, God knows why I'm doing that. And he knows if I'm doing it in the right way. That's just the way God is. I'm sorry, but he knows everything that we're doing. He knows our mindset. He knows our coming and going. He's acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. There's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Yep. Now you see, my belief is that Saul went and worshipped God erroneously, just for show. And what maybe Saul didn't realize is God knew that. Now, he might have fooled those people. He might have fooled Samuel. I don't know. But you don't fool God. There's no way that you can get around fooling God. In the 16th chapter of Luke, this is Jesus in the 15th verse of the 16th chapter of Luke. And he said unto them, talking to the Pharisees, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So whatever you have to hold up before mankind is an abomination in the sight of God. Because whatever you've got to hold up before man, that's who you're trying to please. When the one that you should be trying to please is God himself. And that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters to God. And I think that things that we deal with in life, the things that come upon us at times are upon us because of a failure to realize that God knows the very thoughts of our very heart. And he knows whether it's good or whether it's bad. Or he knows what our intent is. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what we want to do. He knows when we fight him. Like Brenda said, she wrestled with God in the bathroom that day or night. And she lost. God is he's a formidable foe to come up against, if you want to come up against him. And of course she said he had to ask her twice, but that's okay. She did. She came out and did what he put upon her to do. And I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate anybody who's on that level that can talk to God and God can talk to them, and they can get this worked out between them and God. And that's the way that's where we all need to be. We all need to be on that level with God, to where that we can get down and talk to him and him talk to us. That's what we need to do. And we don't need to put on show. We don't need to put on pretenses. We don't have to do that before God. It doesn't make any difference what Brother Maggard thinks about me or me about Brother Maggard. It's what God thinks about us. Now, if we got God in it, we're going to do just fine. We're going to do just fine. But sometimes we forget and leave God out of it. And we let personal come into it. And when personal comes into it, that's when the picture gets a little cloudy. But as long as we're with God, it's going to be like God wants it. And that can't do nothing but good. So we need to keep that in mind. It didn't do Saul a bit of good to put on a show. It's not going to do us a bit of good to put on a show. What we do, we need to give God the honor and glory, because he's the one that deserves it. We don't need to be trying to show mankind what we can do. We don't need to show mankind how religious we are. We really need to show God how religious we are. That's who we need to please. And if we please God, then he takes care of all the rest that's around us. I mean, I believe that firmly. If we do what he wants us to do, he'll take care of everything else. And remember that we're members of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and anything that we do outside of Faith Missionary Baptist Church is a direct relation to God and to Faith Missionary Baptist Church. We're ambassadors for God. We're ambassadors for Faith Missionary Baptist Church. And we need to act that way. We need to conduct ourselves in that fashion, that we're doing what God would be pleased with, not what mankind would look at us and be pleased with. That's not going to get us anything. I don't know what kind of reward, or if I'm even going to have a reward in heaven, but I want to do what I can do for God. I may not do it good all the time. I can't say that I don't even know that I can be, will be able to, like Paul said, he fought a good fight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say that. But I would like to be able to say, Lord, I'd done the best I could. I just did the best I could. And with his help, that's going to be enough. But we've got to get ourselves to that point where we're willing to do whatever it is that God would have us do. That's my lesson. Anyone have anything to... Yeah, you don't know. That's like Brother Massey. Mm-hmm. You know, he wouldn't preach. And he got it one night. God got a hold of him and said, our sister Massey was expecting a child. And God told him, says, you don't preach, that child will not live. And Brother Massey believed him. We need to believe God. Now, it may sound harsh, but God has something he wants you to do. He does. And he's all-knowing. He knows. He even knows if you're going to do it or not. But it's so much easier to do it than not to do it. It sure is. But Brother Massey preached, and he's spent many a year preaching the gospel.
And yes, the church is to this day.
Yep. Yep. That feeling a lot. I get this feeling. I know what I'm doing. It is. I mean, there's just this constant battle, and it's just amazing. Sure we do.
I catch myself sometime in prayer, and I'll realize you're trying to deceive. I just shut in prayer and walk on. And I catch myself trying to deceive. So I think, well, that's why it comes around that it's that nature.
Yeah. That's right. Anyone else?
And
you know, That is played out just about every day with God's people. It just seems like when we try, the things around you can get worse. And it's just amazing how that works out. But if we can ever fight through that, if we can ever get to that, past that point, man, the blessings, they can just flow. And why, like Cindy said, why do we fight against that when we know that we're going to be blessed? And after it's all over with and you're laying there all bloodied and ripped to shreds where God has just brought you down and the blessings start, you wonder, why am I laying like this, bleeding so bad, when it'd have been so much easier if I'd just done what God had wanted me to do. Yeah. Anyone else? Don, would you dismiss us?